I just was in the bookstore and I bought a copy of Picture Perfect, Amy Baker's book on perfectionism. It's excellent. I read it when it was a manuscript, and I had a counselee who was extreme panic and perfectionism and all of that, and I took her through it, and it was really, really helpful. All right, we are talking about helping women to be godly mothers. Now, my daughter Anna has 7 children, and our son David has 5 children. It's just amazing. We only have 2 children, and but I remember when Anna was 3 years old, and one day I was vacuuming the rug. And she came up and she tugged on my pants, and I looked down and she said, "Mommy," and I said, "Yes," and she said, "I am never going to get married." And I said, "Why, honey?" And she said, "Because I'll never leave you." And I got teary and I said, "You might change your mind." And so she did. It just reminds me of how short that time was. Now, some of those days seemed really long, but our time with our children is very precious. And as we work with children, our children, and raise them up, if they're doing well spiritually and otherwise, it's wonderful. But if they're not, there's grief and sorrow. Proverbs 10 says, "A foolish son is a grief to his mother." It's common for mothers to seek biblical counsel and advice. It's common for them to feel overwhelmed with the burden of childcare. We have a new mother in our church family. She has a barely 3-year-old, a 1.5-year-old, and a newborn infant. And it just makes me tired thinking about it. It's common for mothers to worry about their children or to be devastated because of something the child has done, or maybe their child is not a Christian. Whatever the concerns are, in your counseling a mother like this, you need to remember there are 2 sinners in a mother-child relationship. The 2-year-old who's acting like a 2-year-old and the mother who sometimes is acting like a 2-year-old. They need hope. They need a realistic biblical goal and a practical God-honoring solutions to their problems. And in this workshop, I'd like to do 3 things. Give you the goal for the Christian parent, a right understanding of the gospel and the salvation of the child, and then 6 common problems that I have seen over and over again in my 25 years of counseling experience, 6 common problems for which mothers seek biblical counsel. And then I would like to, Lord willing, give you some practical tips on how to help them. Now, in the Faithful Parent book that Stuart Scott and I wrote together, we state that the goal for the Christian parent is to be faithful to God's Word by His grace and for His glory. That's the goal. The mother and father, for that matter, they can be faithful to God, whether the child when he gets older, whether he walks away from the Lord or whether he does get saved and he loves the Lord. Faithfulness, not perfect parenting, faithfulness is what is rewarded by the Lord. A mother, a Christian mother, is to be born again, to be a Christian, of course. And a faithful parent strives to honor the Lord in parenting, repenting themselves and changing. They are to trust God and trust His Word, and they glorify God by fulfilling their biblical responsibility to bring their children up in, number one, the discipline of the Lord, and number two, the instruction of the Lord, Ephesians 6:4. Now, I want to talk a few minutes about a right understanding of the gospel and the child's salvation. Children, as they get older, they need the gospel in its context. There's not one gospel for adults and another gospel for children. In Acts 4:12, it says, "There is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." There's only one way there. If God is opening the child's eyes to the truth, they will truly comprehend the basics of the gospel. And Stuart calls this adult-like content with childlike faith. In Ezekiel 36:26-27, God promised to put his spirit in our heart, to give us a new heart and put his spirit in you. And of course, we see that fulfillment in the New Testament. So there is only one gospel. And then secondly, point B, they need to have some understanding of God and who he is and what he is like. The basic fundamental truth is he is our creator and he is the highest authority. He's the high king of heaven. In Psalm 100:3, it says it is he who has made us, created us, and not we ourselves. They need to have some understanding of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And Matthew 3:16-17 gives an example of that at Jesus' baptism, when the Father spoke and then the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove came down. Children need to know that God is unique and he has always existed. And in Deuteronomy 4:35, "The Lord is God, there is no other like him." They need to know that God is holy and he wants us to be holy. He wants us to perfectly love him and obey his word and love others. In 1 Peter 1:15, Peter's quoting the Old Testament and he says, "And be holy in all your conduct." Children need somewhat of an understanding of man and man's fallen state. We sin, and our sin is worse than we think it is. Theologians call this total depravity. In Romans 5:12, it says, "Sin came into the world through one man." And of course, that man was Adam. And then children need to be taught that there is nothing they can do themselves to come out from under God's wrath. Hebrews 9:27, "It is appointed for man to die once. After that comes judgment." Only God can do that for the child. And we need to tell our children that it is God's love and God's mercy and God's grace to us. In 1 Peter 3:18, it says, "Christ suffered the righteous for the unrighteous." And then I won't read it. That Titus 3:4-7. "Be careful," we say in The Faithful Parent, "be careful not to imply that the young child is already in a personal relationship with God, even if they have responded to the gospel. Time will tell." And Stuart says, until they get to their teen years and young adult years, that's when they will be tested. So most children who grow up in Christian homes think they're Christian, and they may be. They very well may be. But we'll, you talk about the rebellious teenager, and we see that even in really strong Christian homes. In